Hey y'all, it's Alante, and you're listening to Blackin' in Grad School, the podcast that helps women and people of color like you excel in this journey. If you're listening, I believe you are an aspiring or current scholar who wants to successfully navigate this process. By sharing my experience while pursuing my PhD and interviewing other Black graduate students or early career professionals, it is my hope that you can glean encouragement, advice, and strategies that you can apply to your journey. Thanks for listening. Hey y'all, it's Alante, and back this week with another episode, Solo Dolo, with some really exciting information as it relates to continuing to build your community. So last week we talked about getting ready to move to a new city or to a new university, things you can do as far as getting connected to the community off and on campus, and really about how to make those connections in person. Today, I really want to go in depth about Twitter, academic Twitter specifically, and the power of academic Twitter, also the ways and some pointers that you can use as you continue Twitter or as you developed a professional Twitter as a emerging thought leader, scholar, etc. So it's a regular solo episode for me, and so that means we're going to start with Lesson from the Trap. And this week's episode is obviously called Twitter Fingers because, I mean, what other name would be appropriate? And as such, the Lesson from the Trap is back to back. Let us never forget the motive of back-to-back. It is a response. It is a clap back during the, what years was this? 2015-ish or something. Beef might have been maybe 2016, 2017. I don't remember. The beef between Drake and Meek Mills. And, you know, Meek Mills came out with something. I don't even remember the name of his song. But I do remember, and I think we all remember, this response from Drake. Like, oh my gosh. He went in. And it's a clapback. And Twitter, we love a good clapback. We love Black Twitter and its responses to things that happen in our world, within the Black community, in the world at large, that are tangential to the Black community or not. You know, I just feel like it was perfect. Twitter fingers, you know, et cetera. I'm not even going to tell you about the song. Yeah, I remember the song, all of that jazz. So with that, I guess really today isn't really a lesson, more like setting the mood for or setting the tone for this episode. That's the lesson from the trap. And just to give you an update, I feel like the week before last, I came back to Twitter and Instagram with updates, with life. You know, things have been going swimmingly as the summer is coming to an end. Sad face, but also really exciting. I've been recording a bunch of episodes. Like, literally, I just finished the super exciting episode interview. I cannot wait for y'all to hear it. It's so awesome, so compelling. And I know I feel like every time I talk to somebody, I get excited, but I really do. I enjoy this. I hope you enjoy it with me. But, you know, really just talking to Black folk about their experience. Y'all hear me clapping in the background because I'm so excited. It's just refreshing and motivating and inspiring. And that is why, you know, I love creating Blackin' in Grad School. And so I'm just like riding on a high right now from that. And I just was like, let me just jump on, talk to y'all about this. It's been important. I know I've been wanting to share it, but also giving you an update. I feel like my last update, I kind of ended the semester really kind of just tough, you know, life just really hit me like a ton of bricks. And so I really took this break this summer. I know I didn't tell y'all. I've been trying to like also not continuously feel like I have to explain myself, as I just explained to you why I didn't do it. But really just taking time for myself and kind of helping myself be okay with not having to explain everything or having to justify needing rest. Like, I needed it, and I feel much better. I'm in a much better place mentally. I did a lot of personal growth over the summer. I handled some goals, okay? Goals as it relates to school. I got both of my papers submitted for publication. Now, we're still not at the approval or review phase. However, that I made my goal submission because that's what I had control over. And so if you listen to like the end of the second of the end of the year recap of just like me ending the semester and getting ready for my qualifying exams back in like December, January, I was really like, my goal was to submit these two papers. that was the goal. I've done it. I'm very happy. I'm very satisfied with that. And a way that I was getting that done was the scholar circle. So if you participated in the grad school summit, the grad school success summit, or if you are on my email list, you've heard about the scholar circle, this digital community that I've been facilitating for the last two semesters now. We're getting ready for our fall cycle. Yeah, it's been helping me. I've been helping everybody else get their things. We're out here winning. Come join the winning team. If you want to know more about it, check out the website. And really, that's kind of the best update. It's just like, I'm in a better place. I feel like I was still very raw when I kind of touched base at the end of the school year. And so now I'm feeling, you know, back and I'm better. And I mean, I'm not ready to clap back on y'all. You know, I'm happy that you're listening. I'm happy you're here. But, you know, I'm just like in a better place. And so that's kind of like a quick little update. I just been doing work, struggling with a routine right now, but kind of like allowing myself to embrace something that's a little bit more flexible. Yeah. So that's kind of just where I'm at. You kind of got like a round the world recap or like update. So we're going to move right along, right, into this topic for the week. Every episode is, I'm going to be shortcutting a little bit. Oh, it's been 6 minutes. Oh, damn. Well, all right, Stephanie, cut all this out. Me going all over the place. But let's just get to it. Like, it's no point in us lollygagging about this academic Twitter. And so, first of all, if you are kind of, if you've taken a long break and you're coming back into like the academic world, maybe you've been working, or if you're an undergrad student who, for whatever reason, like just wasn't aware of academic Twitter, then I just want to tell you about it. And also to let you know, I did not know about academic Twitter at all. Even when I started the podcast, I had no clue how much of academic world exists on Twitter specifically. And the only reason I went to it was because my mom, I sound like I'm annoyed, but I'm not. But my mom was like, you should have a Twitter account. And I'm like, what for? Like, I don't need a Twitter account. No one's on Twitter, mom. She's like, Alante, I'm telling you, you need a Twitter account for this podcast. And I actually started the entire social media platform or like platforms with a Twitter on. Yeah, that's what I started. Before I had a Twitter, before I had an Instagram. And so I was like, okay, let me just start this Twitter, whatever. And the first person I ever followed was Joy Melody. Like literally the second or third tweet I saw from her happened. This happened in real time. Literally, she was at dinner with her now husband and her father, and she had said that Lance was talking about them getting married. Like that was like the second tweet I saw from her, and I was like, oh, she seems cool. Whatever, I follow her. And now she's married to Lance, the guy who said that he was thinking about it since 2 years ago, which is amazing. But also, our relationship has developed over time where now we are on a text basis, you know, and I met her through Twitter. I also met a lot of other bloggers and vloggers and podcasters in the academic space through Twitter, but also professors, also graduate school programs or prep programs or GRE prep or, you know, et cetera, I've been able to connect with through Twitter. And I was like, as I started the podcast, I just was tweeting out the episodes. I realized, oh my gosh, like so many grad students are on Twitter. Wow. So many professors are on Twitter. Whoa. Now why Twitter? I have no idea. Cause I'm like, why haven't we converted over to Instagram, you know, Facebook, even though I do feel like Facebook is like the personal place that like academics live. A lot of my friends who are in grad school or who went to grad school, I find that we communicate more on Facebook than say like my friends who didn't, which I don't really know why, but maybe because we share articles, what have you. And then Instagram, there is a growing number of Instagram, but I would just say the bulk, and especially if you're trying to network and meet professors and those types, Twitter is your best place to go. And so I think that's a roundabout way to tell you like why Twitter, because that's where the professors are. That's where they're, because the professors are there, a lot of grad students are there, and then grad students, you know, ultimately become professors or other thought leaders. A lot of, yeah, like, thought leaders are also on Twitter, and they're very active on Twitter compared to Instagram or Facebook. Also, you know, Instagram is more visual, and I think the work that we do doesn't have always the most Instagram, you know, aesthetic friendly kind of content. And so I think that Twitter is just a better place for us to express ourselves, to articulate our thoughts. And so a lot of people feel that way, and therefore a lot of people are on Twitter. So academic Twitter is booming, regardless of your intersections, for sociologists, for psychologists, for engineers, for Black women, you know, Black men, you know, LGBTQ scholars, like everybody, a little bit of everybody, you know, differently abled scholars, learning disabilities, what have you. Everybody's on Twitter. Every little pocket of the community is on Twitter. And so I think, again, if you want to tap into it, it's a great place to get support, especially if you are the only insert, you know, in your department. You don't have to still feel alone, because you can literally tweet it out and people can relate and respond, etc. Yeah, so you should be on Twitter. You should totally consider being on Twitter as a part of your professional, like, portfolio, and how you can elevate your personal brand as a, again, as a thought leader and as a scholar, a way to engage. And if you have an advisor, like my advisor loves to tweet, they're going to want to connect with you on Twitter in some way, right? To at least tag you when things happen, or when you publish, or et cetera, or something else good happens in your professional career. And so it's good to just have that so that people can then follow you, because then, you know, their colleagues are going to follow you. And that's really how you can build a really robust network. And so with that, I kind of have like a couple pointers, you know, for academic Twitter. And admittedly, I'm not even gonna lie to you, I'm starting my own professional academic Twitter, professional Twitter, versus like I had a personal Twitter a really long time ago, like literally don't even know the name of my old handle. And I abandoned Twitter when Instagram showed up. I think I've had Snapchat forever, like since like 2011. So I kind of stopped using Twitter, but I came back to promote the podcast and create a platform for the podcast. And now I'm like realizing the importance of me having one that's solely focused on the work I do, my research, etc. And I think, it will have some overlaps with Black and grad school, because that's like some of my service work. But the point I'm making is I had to come to terms with, I need to have an academic Twitter. I need to quit playing games. There's nothing to be scared of. I'm telling this to myself, and I'm also telling you what I was thinking to encourage you. Like, there's nothing to be afraid of if you don't have an academic Twitter, or a professional, I keep saying academic, but a professional Twitter, just to really consider doing it. Okay, so some of my like pointers, tips, advice, something like that. It's not like a step-by-step process by any means, but something to consider as you are making your Twitter account. First is, if you're switching your personal Twitter to now your professional Twitter, you want to clean it up. I feel like, granted, as scholars, we are not, you know, these Instagram or real life celebrities, pop stars, whatever, who we see get ridiculed or then canceled, right, from problematic tweets of the past, from their youth or what have you, or just out of just plain ignorance. But that's all it takes, is one sideways comment about, related to something, be it issues with race or gender or sexuality, or really can run the gamut, even probably stuff or experiences that you've had and how you express that lived experience can have negative consequences and give way to negative attention. And we don't want that. We want to minimize those things. We want your work and your personality, those things to shine and be the most important thing, the most prominent piece that shows and shines through on your social media facade and that front-facing self. And so you really want to think about deleting your old Twitter, or like checking to make sure that none of that recklessness of your youth will spoil your future. I think that's really important. I think that's something that, I believe there's like an app or something that you could pay some sort of money to delete the Twitter, or you could just go in and delete your entire Twitter if that's what you need to do, and you know you might have said something before or used some flavorful, colorful language before that you do not want to surface as an adult or as a professional, delete it. Now, I think there are people, and myself is included, who, you know, use colorful language in how they communicate. I don't know if it'll show up on my Twitter, but I'm not saying that it can't. But I just say that to say, if you don't want that on your Twitter, delete the tweets or the account that has that kind of language reflected in it. Or if you're going to maintain it, you know, just make sure that the content of the tweets is still, you know, I'm going to just say, like, to an extent, I would argue almost PC. Like, I think that being revolutionary is important and we need those people, and the experiences and sharing them and expressing them is important. So I feel like do what works for you. But I would also just say be cautious. And that's really important, because another thing, I feel like I've told you a couple things that people have said to me, but one thing one of my friends said to me, my friend Adrian, shout out to him, that it just resonates so strongly with me as it relates to just the Black experience. And it's like, just, I think right now, still a part of our unfortunate reality is that I'm trying to find it right now. Because I don't even want to misquote him, because it was so good, y'all. Honey, once y'all hear this, y'all gonna be like, huh, like ready to just grasp at your chest, because it's just too real. There it is. The hammer lands on everyone, but it lands on us differently, right? The repercussions for quote unquote bad behavior looks different when you're a woman or when you are Black or, you know, Latinx or differently abled, or, you know, all these things, these different intersections, it just looks different. And so we know that. And with knowing that, I think we have to think about and be cautious about what it is that we put out there and how it can be perceived. And with that, I also think it's important to consider, these are just like two considerations mostly, a professional Twitter and a personal Twitter, right? Like how celebrities have Finstas, fake Instagrams, that their closest friends can only see. If you know and feel like a very expressive person and you enjoy expressing yourself on social media, I'm not here to judge. I'm just saying be smart about how you're using it. Don't put your, you know, wild tweets on your professional Twitter. Just, you don't have to. Just put it on that Twitter or put it in your group chats, put it on your Instagram for your close friends. You have a lot of other places to express yourself. And so just want to like remind you the importance of just being vigilant, being smart. And I think that's another thing to consider is, you know, what you're going to express, how you're going to share it, where are the appropriate places to do so. And I just think there should be a place where you can be professional and focus again on the scholar that you are, highlight that and let your personality shine through. And I think there's another place where you can let your hair down and, you know, tag your ratchetry, which I am a fan, you know, somewhere else. So I think those things are two considerations. And then the next thing is kind of like steps, tips, tricks, something like that, about finding the academic Twitter community. Now, I did go on Twitter and ask on my Twitter, you know, if there was a guide to academic Twitter, what would be in it? And there were some things that came up that I thought was really cool. One was like a flow chart to help you decide when and if you should clap back on the nonsense on your timeline. So, you know, Twitter fingers, right? I don't know. I think this is definitely something, if you're going to respond, I just suggest, like, I'm not going to say sleep on it, but I believe I read somewhere, if you need to make a decision, sometimes the time it takes you to go wash your hands is enough time to kind of think and reflect on making a decision. So what I would say is, if you can go for a walk, if you can count to 10, if you can go wash your hands, decide what you're going to do and say in that time. Don't just immediately act. I just don't advise that, because you really want to be clear in thought when you're going on Twitter and responding to somebody, because that's really my flowchart. It's like, should you say it? Is this worth it? Will this open more doors or will this close more doors? You know, but I know there are some things that could really be a coin toss. Okay, so there are that part that was like one of the more popular responses, and that is from Raven Camilla. And she also had another response that I thought was really cool and got a lot of likes and reshares and retweets, rather. Is that a list of hashtags organized by field to help you find your people. And maybe a directory on the top folks in those fields and their handles for easy following. Now, I think that's a great idea. However, I believe in user-generated data, and I am not in every field, so I don't have that type of information at my fingertips. So what I am providing is a list of Twitter accounts of all of the Black blog podcasters that I know. Right. I think that is a good place to start, where you might at least be able to find fellow students through their list, and things like that. So if you want, you can submit to a form where we're creating a directory for all of these hashtags and all of these, you know, thought leaders in these fields. That will be available in the show notes. And so you can, if you know some people that you want everyone to follow or you think is important for people in your field to follow, please submit to it. And I think that is a really good thing. But the point I'm bringing about is finding hashtags to find your people. And so if you are a Black grad student, I would definitely say the first one is Black Grad Life. So BLK Grad Life. That is how I found pretty much my Twitter friends, is through that Twitter handle. And then I'm trying to, and this is how, you know, I've been, I'm like, I feel like Black Grad Life. And then I want to say PhD Life. Let's see. I'm searching. Y'all getting it live, real life. Oh yeah. Duh. Hashtag Academic Chatter. That's a good one for, that's like an everybody, everyone's using that one. So if you want to just find people who are talking about the academic life, professors, students, postdocs, etc., that is a good hashtag to use. Also hashtag PhD chat, that has a lot of good things. PhD advice. I'm trying to think of what else. Hashtag academia. Yeah. That comes up, but it's almost a little bit too generic, in my opinion. I rather look at academic Twitter, academic chatter, like hashtag academic Twitter, hashtag academic chatter to find people. And those are kind of, I think, some like baseline hashtags to start. So if you start to follow students, you know, podcasts, blogs, you know, name the gamut of things or people or brands or schools you can follow, you can put them on a list and follow that list and follow the activity taking place on that list, so that you can kind of keep track more, even more specifically, or pay more attention to like particular people, maybe professors you're interested in working in or work that you enjoy or follow closely, your department, maybe conferences you like to attend, etc. I think that is a good way to kind of segment your list based on interest. So maybe you have a list for your field. Maybe you have a list for Black grad student brands or support brands. Maybe you'll have one of like people in your cohort or like in your department. You have ways to like organize lists to, again, follow certain clusters more closely. So I think that might be a good tool that you can use, especially if maybe right now you're not concerned about what's going on with your cohort members' experiments. You're just trying to figure out if that professor from that university that you're interested in going to for your postdoc is, you know, going to the conference that you're interested in or you're trying to go to, you know, what have you. So definitely use those lists to help segment and kind of jump in where you really want to be, depending on, you know, the day, the need, etc. And then how to engage with the Twitter community. So, I mean, retweets are free, easy way to engage. Definitely responding is important. Like, I think the cool thing about Twitter is you don't have to respond immediately as you see stuff. I mean, things move fast on Twitter. So much so that I admit sometimes I get a little intimidated, like, by the amount of the volume of what I can miss, you know, in days. Because, I mean, hours, obviously. But then because then it ends up being days, because I'm nervous about the hours, I miss a lot. And so the cool thing is if you find something, you know, 3 days later, you can still respond to that post. And it's not, like, frowned upon or anything. Like, for the most part, it's okay to engage afterwards. And they might come back and respond to you then as well. So respond and repost. And then I would say, you know, drop some knowledge in some ways. And so some things that you could be doing is tweeting during conferences and using the conference hashtags. You can give your own research updates. So like, oh, you know, this week I'm working on, you know, modeling X, Y, and Z. And this is really important because, you know, 1, 2, 3. Or you can even share think pieces or articles that come out, your articles, your advisors' articles, your cohort members, just because so you're contributing to the community as well as engaging and receiving from this, like, academic Twitter community at large. So those are some options that you have as it relates to, like, getting into Twitter, some pointers. Not like this super, like, step-by-step guy, but really just like these are some things you should consider, some steps you can take to really create a solid Twitter community. I mean, seriously, the people I've met on Twitter, I've been able to develop relationships with some. Again, I text, like, Joy is not the only person, like, there's a whole text group of us, you know, but also people that listeners I've been able to communicate with and connect with. A lot. So it's not just this, like, well, for me, it's not just like this, like, oh, I'm just meeting other bloggers. Like, I'm meeting other everybody. I mean, everybody, and been able to tap into the community as a whole. And I think that when I even have a rough day, I can go to my Twitter and like express myself and get support, right? Especially when I now that Divine from, oh, that's another update, Divine from, like, I want to say episode 36 or so, he just graduated. And so I'm the only domestic Black student left in engineering and public policy for now. I think someone might be coming in the fall, I'm not sure. And then in civil engineering, I'm the only Black woman, the only domestic Black woman. So there are moments when I'm frustrated, and I know that I can go and express myself, you know, small frustrations like, oh, I didn't have, like, the best meeting with my advisor. I can express that frustration to my Twitter and to, like, friends and stuff. And I can kind of get that positive feedback I need really quickly. And some of my friends from my department or from my program do follow my Twitter. And so they'll see it and they'll, like, use that as a signal to text me and reach out to and provide support. So Twitter is more than what it might look like. Like, oh, who cares about having social media presence? But you can really develop some relationships. And then when you do finally cross paths with people, it's such an exciting experience. Like, shout out to Jonathan Jones Speaks. He and I were at the Podcast Movement conference last year and didn't know he was going. He didn't know I was going because that just happens sometimes. And we're sitting down at a session. I'm like, oh my gosh, Jonathan, like, so excited. And, you know, I was just so happy that Twitter connected us. Like, it was just so cool. Like, wow, the internet really, like, connects you to people and you're able to, like, develop relationships with people. How amazing and dope and exciting is that? And I always think it's so funny to tell people I met them on the internet. Like, it's just hilarious to me personally. Like, I find it very, very funny. But you can, again, have those, maybe not as much excitement, right? Like, I was doing a lot. But with professors, with other, you know, your contemporaries in the field, when you get to meet at a conference, like, oh my gosh, my Twitter friend, like, I, you know, I'm so happy to meet you in person. And so I say all that to say there's so much to be gained by joining the Twitter community. I want you to think about it. Let me know if there's something else that you want to see. But in the show notes, you will see a form to submit hashtags and to submit faculty or professors or thought leaders in these spaces into a spreadsheet. You can get access to that spreadsheet as well. So I hope this is useful. I hope that you find what you need, get the support you deserve as you continue your graduate school journey, not only in person, but also online and through the digital space that we are in, this digital community that we're growing. And so I really hope this is useful. I said that already, but I mean it. So you know where to find me on Instagram and Twitter at Black and Grad School. Check out the website, blackandgradschool.com. All of those are BLKIN grad school, like .com or at, you know, depending on what you're looking for. Thanks again for listening. Remember, grad school is tough, but you're tougher. I'll talk to you all next week. Bye. Thanks again for listening to this episode of Black and in Grad School. For more content to help you on your grad school journey, check out blackandgradschool.com. That's BLKINGradschool.com. Love this episode? Head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. Until next time.